Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra daf Ches. We're going to pick up on daf Zayin and Beis about 7 lines before the end of the page. We're discussing how Talmidei Chachamim are pater from paying certain taxes, and the Gemara is going to show support for that in Torah, in Nevi'im, and in Ksuvim, that Talmidei Chachamim are pater from taxes. The Gemara is going to then tell us how in years of famine, Rebbe was makbid to only give food to Talmidei Chachamim, or not to give food, rather, to Amei Ha'aretz, and what the problem that ensued from such a policy. The Gemara is going to go on to say how long one has to reside in a city in order to be considered one of the Anshei Ha'ir, and also how long one has to reside in a city in order to be considered Yoshvei Ha'ir, and those might not be the same thing. The Gemara on the bottom is going to tell us how if Reb Hormiz wanted to donate money to be given for a mitzvah rabbah, and when they had to figure out what a mitzvah rabbah was, what they decided on was Pidyon Shvuyim, and the Gemara is going to prove why it is that Pidyon Shvuyim is considered such a great mitzvah. On Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about how many people need to be involved in both the collection and the distribution of tzedakah, and why that number is a critical number. And it's also going to talk about, at the bottom of the page on Amud Beis, the various hanhagos of a gabbai tzedakah that he has to do in order to avoid any sort of suspicion in his tzedakah activities. So let's begin about 70 lines before the end of the page. Rabbi Yehuda is the last words on the line. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, Rama Deshura Drabanan. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya imposed the expenses for the wall around the city on the Rabbanan as well. So I'm Reish Lakish Rabbanan, let's reach the Tirusa. Reish Lakish said it's not necessary. The Rabbanan don't require any protection. Dechsiv Asapre Michol Yerbun. That Asap Leman, Ile Mel Tzadikim. Who are we counting? If we're going to say that we count the Tzadikim and the Dinefishi Mechol, they are Mechol Yerbun. They are greater in number than the sand. That can't be that tzaddikim are greater in number than the sand, because hashta kuli yisrael ksivbu kechol asher al sfas hayam. The entire Jewish people are described as being like the number of the sand by the sea. Tzaddikim atzma mechol yirbun. So there are going to be more tzaddikim than there are people in the entire Jewish people. That's impossible. Elahachi kamar. No, this is what the pasuk is trying to tell me. Esperem means lemaaseim shel tzaddikim mechol yirbun. Esperem is to count the actions, the deeds of the tzaddikim, the mitzvos. That's greater than the sand, and therefore we make the following kal v'chomer. Ukal v'chomer machol shemuat megin alayam maaseim shel tzaddikim shemerubim lo kolshkim shemeginim alayam. That if chol, which is a smaller number, still is enough to protect for the yam, to protect the serve as a wall to protect the dry land from the yam. So the tzaddikim, the maaseim shel tzaddikim, all the good deeds of the tzaddikim should certainly be sufficient to protect the tzaddikim, and therefore they don't require a wall for protection. Kiyasul kavid Rabbi Yochanan amalei my time lo time le meha. He said, well, you're going to bring a riot that tzaddikim are self protected and they don't require extra protection. Why don't you bring from the following pasuk? Ani choma v'shadai kimigdalos. Ani choma zu Torah. Ani choma means that the Torah serves as a wall. V'shadai kimigdalos elu tamid chachamim. The migdalos are the towers through which they protect the city, that the watchmen protect the city. That's a reference to tamid chachamim. So don't you see the tamid chachamim don't require a choma? Reish Lakish Savrla, and Reish Lakish holds that there's a different drasha to be made from that pasuk, and that's why he didn't quote that pasuk. He did darish Rava. He holds that we should darsh in that pasuk the way Rava darsh in the pasuk. Ani choma zu knesses Yisrael. Ani choma is a reference to the Jewish people. The shadak megdalos elu batei knesios ubatei midrashos. That's a reference to the batei knesios and the batei midrashos that we go to daven and to learn Torah in. Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista imposed a tax on the Rabbanan. Amalei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak told Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista, Avarta ad Oraisa v'ad Nevi'i v'ad Ksuvi. You have violated something that's written in the Torah, something that's written in Nevi'im, and something that's written in Ksuvim. Ad Oraisa d'Ksiv, you violated Oraisa because the pasuk says, Av Chovev Amim Kol Kedoshav Biyadecha. What does that mean? Amar Moshe of the Nekrosh Baruch Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Afilu B'Shah Shata Mechavev Amim, Kol Kadoshav Yu B'Yadecha. Even when you are being Mechavev the other nations of the world, and you're giving other nations of the world success, and therefore the Jewish people in general are in danger and require protection, but Kol Kadoshav are B'Yadecha, your holy ones, your Tamidei Chachamim, should be B'Yadecha, are still protected by your hand. You are going to protect them. So therefore you see that in the Torah, that Tamidei Chachamim don't require the normal physical protection that everybody else does. Vehem tu kul raglecha, Tani Rav Yosef, el Tamidei Chachamim, shemechatzim raglayim, me'ir li'ir, me'medina le'medina, lil matara. What's tu kul raglecha? It's referring to those who cut up their feet. What does it mean, cut up their feet? The Tamidei Chachamim that travel from one city to another city, from Medina to Medina, in order to be able to teach Torah. This was at a time where travel was exceedingly difficult, and it was a tremendous yisurin to go and travel, but that's what they would do in order to be able to teach Torah throughout the world. Yisa midabrosecha, lisa v'litein b'divrosav shel makom, that they would do this in order to engage in Torah conversation, in order to spread Torah. Adinvi'i, how did you violate what it says in the Nevi'im? Dechsiv, Pasuk says, gam ki yitnu b'gayim atah kapteim, v'yachelu ma'at mimasa melech v'sarim. Amar ula pasuk zeh blashna ramis ne'emar. When it says gam ki yitnu b'gayim, it's you have to understand it as speaking blashna ramis. Itanu kulhu atah kapteim. Over here, tain does not mean to give, it means to learn. That if you all are learned, then I will gather you in, then it will be a time of geula. V'ima'at mehem yachlu mimasa melech v'sarim. And if it's only some people, some members of the Jewish community that are learned, then they are the ones that are going to at least be freed from the burden of the melech v'sarim, which means from the taxes. So you see there in the Navi, that Tamidei Chachamim are exempt from taxes. And how is it a violation of what it says in the Ksuvim? Dechsiv, minda below v'halach la shalit l'mirma aleihom. V'am Rav Yehuda, minda zumanas ha-melech. That's a reference to the taxes of the king that they would always put on all the B'nai Medina. Below zu kesev kulgalta. That's a reference to the head tax. V'halach zu arnuna. That's a reference to taxes on grain and on animals. That was an annual tax. So you see explicitly in the Ksuvim that the Tamid Chum were exempt from paying all of these taxes. Now, why is it that Tamid Chum are exempt from paying these taxes? Now, there are two types of taxes, maybe more than two, but there's the tax that pays for the actual police force and the walls and the actual things that protect the person. So that we understand. Tamid Chum don't require protection, so Mela, they don't have to pay those taxes. And there are taxes that pay for basic needs that everybody has to dig wells so that everyone will have water and things of that nature, that Tamid Chum are actually obligated to pay. And then there's this third type of tax that we seem to be describing over here, a mas hamelech, where the tax is there to give the melech something to pad his treasury, to be able to have, to make it a richer country. So he requires that he enriches himself off of taxing the people. So that's the kind of tax that we're talking about now, that for some reason the Talmid Chacham are exempt from. The Rambam in the Perush Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos in Perek Dalet explains that just like the Torah paters Kohanim from Machzah Shekel, so too we pater Talmid Chachamim from paying these taxes. And the Ran in Maseches Nedarim explains that the Talmid Chacham are pater from these taxes, just like Kohanim, Levim, Trumas, and Maestros. He says that they're pater from these taxes because the Torah protects them, so Mela they don't have to pay these taxes. But it's not so clear what that means. What does it have to do with protection? So the Tur explains in the name of the Rush that all of these things are in order to protect us amongst the Umos HaOlam, which means that the Umos HaOlam at any given time might say, what do we need the Jews for? They're unnecessary. We don't need the Jewish people living amongst us. And one of the ways that we are protected is that they're going to look at their bank accounts and they're going to say, oh, that's why we need the Jews, because they're paying the taxes and we're making a lot of money off of them. So in that sense, it's protecting us. Aside from the paying for walls and army and police force. It protects us in that sense that that we serve as a benefit to the non-Jewish society. So in that sense, the Talmid Chacham don't require the taxes either, because they are HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects them. And that's what these psukim are about, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect them even when the Umos HaOlam otherwise would have what to say about the need to have Jewish people amongst them. Rav Papa Rama Karya Chadita Ayasmi. Rav Papa would make the even Yesomim pay for the expense of digging wells. But what's going to happen if you don't find any water? You're going to dig and you're not going to find any water, and then you will turn out that you took money from Yesomim for no reason. We'll give it a shot, and if we find water, good, so they're going to benefit from that as well. And if we don't find water, then we'll return the money. We'll give them a tax refund. Amar Rav Yehuda, Hakol la'agli gafa afilu miyasmi. Everyone pays for the city gates. Even Yesomim have to pay for the city gates. Av Rabbanan lo tzrich nitirusa, but the Rabbanan don't, because the Rabbanan do not require protection. Hakol la'karya pasya afilu mirabbanan. Everyone has to pay for well digging, even the Rabbanan. That's what we were talking about before, that kind of tax which pays for just getting water, that the Rabbanan need as well. So v'lo amar el d'lo nafki b'chluza, but that's only if it's a monetary tax. It's not about going and bringing your shovel and doing the manual labor. But if it's about going out and digging wells, so that the Rabbanan are not, it's beneath the dignity of Talmid Chachamim. They have to carry themselves with a certain amount of dignity for them to go out and carry the shovels and dig the wells. This is a different Rabbanim of a different style in terms of how much they're makbid on the dignity. So I was just in Dallas, Rabbi Rakovsky was telling me that they tell the story of Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, that a big veer came to pick him up in his Rolls Royce once to drive him somewhere, and Abramsky was standing on the passenger side waiting for the veer to get out of the car and open the door for him, and he didn't. He walks around to the car, he knocks on the window, and he says, "Kavana Teira," and he waited for him to get out of and open up the door for him. Okay, so it's a different style. I don't think so many rabbis have that style. Okay, Rabbi Pasach Otzros B'Shnei Bitzoris. Rabbi opened up his storage houses of food in years of famine. Amar Yichnusu Bali Mikra, Bali Mishnah, Bali Gemara, Bali Halacha, Bali Haggadah. And he said, I'll happily distribute food to people who learn Tanakh, to people who learn Mishnah, people who learn Gemara, Halacha, Haggadah, whatever area of Torah. Aval Amei Aretz, Al Yichnusu. But Amei Aretz, not interested. Dachak Rabbi Yonasan Ben Amram V'nichnas. Rabbi Yonasan Ben Amram came in disguise, not as a Talmud Chacham, and he entered. Amelo Rebbe Parnaseni. He said, "Rabbi, give me some food." Amelo Bini Karisa, have you learned Tanakh? Amelo Lav. He said, "No." Shanisa, have you learned Mishnah? Amelo Lav. No. Im kein b'ma farnasei, how can I give you parnasa if you haven't learned? It's interesting that he assumed that there's a possibility that he learned Mishnah without having learned Mikra, meaning L'chor, it's out of order. He should have first asked if he learned Mishnah, and if he didn't, okay, maybe you at least learned Mikra, but Mikra seems to be a prerequisite for Mishnah. So Amalei Parnaseni Kikele V'Cha'orev. He said, at least feed me like you would a dog or a raven. So Parnasei, he felt bad for him and he gave him the food. Basar Dinafik Yasav Rebbe V'Kometzta'er. Afterwards, Rebbe felt badly about it. V'amar Oili Shenasati Piti L'Amaretz. And he said, woe unto me that I gave bread to an Amma Aretz. I wanted to give only to Talmid Chachamim. Amar Lefan Rebbe Shimba Rebbe Shema Yonasan Ben Amram Tamidachu Shein Rotz Le'Hanus Mikovator Miyamav. Maybe it was Rebbe Yonasan Ben Amram, your Talmud, who is not interested in gaining anything from the Kavodat Torah at all, so that's why he didn't want to give away that he was a Talmud Chacham. But Kuvashkach, they investigated and they found that Ataka was him. Amar Rebbe Yichnusu Akol. So Rebbe said, okay, now the door is open for everybody. And this is Rebbe Litamei, this is Rebbe Lishitaso. His initial idea of only feeding Talmud Chachamim is Lishitaso. Dami Rebbe, Ein Pranas Bal Yolam Ela Bishvil Amei Aretz. Piranhas only come to the world because of Ami Aretz. Kahu de Mekalila, de Shadu about Tveria, just like at that time they imposed, the king imposed a major tax on the city of Tveria, Asul Kameh to Rebbe, they came to Rebbe Varmalei, Leis Rabban Abadon, and they said the Rabban should have to shoulder their fair share of the burden. Amalu lo, he said absolutely not. Amalu Arukinan, they said, okay, well then we're going to run away and you're going to be left holding the bag, you're going to be left having to pay it. Amalei Aroku, he said, run away, I don't care. Arku Palgeon, Dalia Palgua, Palga, half of them ran away, half of the tax was lifted. Asu Hanu Palga Kameh to Rebbe, the remaining half of the people came to Rebbe. Amalei Leis Rabban Abadon, the Rabban should have to pay whatever's remaining of the tax together with us. Amalu lo, he said, absolutely not. Arukinan, we're going to run away. Aroku, go, run away. Arku Kulu, they all ran away. Pasha Hu Koves, Shadua Koves. And there was only one launderer left, and they imposed the entire remaining tax on that Koves. It's interesting that what happened when the first group ran away is different than what happened when the second group ran away. When the first group ran away, they lifted half of the tax, so the cost went down. When the second group ran away, they didn't lift any of the tax. They just put all of the remaining tax on the Koves. I didn't see anyone who raises that issue. Ara Koves Paka Kalila. So the Koves ran away, and then the tax was gone. I'm Rabbi Reisim Shein Paranus Bal Yolam El B'Shel Am Eretz. You see that when the Talmid Chacham are around, there's no Paranus. The Paranus only come about because of the Am Eretz. A number of interesting things over here. First of all, that he didn't want to get any kavod from his Torah. Presumably that's a chumrah. That's not absolutely required. Meikar Adin. But Yonasan Ben Amram didn't want to receive any benefit whatsoever from his Torah. The Chidar writes in Shema Gdolim Marechas Aleph Os Ayin Vav that he heard from a Zakin who was Mekabel that in the days of the Marshal, in the Marshal's base Medrash, was right above the store of a Mocher Yerakos, of a guy who used to sell vegetables, and they called him Rabbi Avram Mocher Yerakos, and he was a Tznua, and he didn't speak with anybody really, and no one really knew anything about him. But late at night, the Marshal would hear him learning, and he would hear how he was learning these deep sugyas and with Perushim, and he saw that he was clearly a very, very significant Talmud Chacham. So Marshal said, come, I want you to learn with me. The guy said, what do you want to learn with me? I don't know anything. I'm just an Amaretz. And he pressured him and pressured him and pressured him till he finally got out of him that he could learn. But the guy said, please don't tell anybody. I never wanted to receive any kavod from my Torah. And he had a chavrusa with the Marshal, and no one knew until the day of his death who he was. And when he died, the Marshal demanded that he be buried b'chelek harabanim and that he be buried amongst Talmidei Chachamim. So he said, the Shema Gdolim, the Chida says, you see, ad kidei kach, how a person tries to avoid the kavod Torah. And that type of tznius is a very valuable thing. But another thing, what was Rebbe thinking? Not to give Amei Aretz food? Well, Amei Aretz should die because they don't learn Torah. We don't have a mitzvah to give tzedakah to Amei Aretz. So this is a discussion in the Rishon and the Beis Yosef in Yerdeus and Rishon and Aleph quotes from the Ritva that Rebbe simply didn't have enough to go around. He didn't have enough to feed the Amei Aretz and the Talmid Chachamim, so it was a matter of kedima. And the halach is the Talmid Chacham is kodem l'Amei Aretz. And Shulchan Aruch paskins this way that Rabbi Shaya Mitzdar Shnasim Pitul Amaretz Mishum Doyish Shnei Bitzores Umasha Yochlim Amaretz Yechzel Talmud Chacham. To the extent that an Amaretz is going to get, the Talmud Chacham is not going to get. But, says the Shulchan Aruch, if someone comes and he's dying of starvation, chayiv lahachayoso, then you absolutely have to support him. The problem is, Rav Elchanan points out, the problem with this explanation is that the Gemara says that the reason Rebbe didn't give his pas to Na'am Aretz is because Ein Pranas Bal Yolam Ela B'Shvil Amei Aretz. But if we're talking about that he just didn't have enough to give out, that's not the real reason. It's not because Amei Aretz caused a Pranas, it's because of Dinei Kedima in the laws of Tzedakah. So it doesn't sound like that's the reason from the Gemara. Now, in our Chidush HaRitva, we don't have that same reason. In the Chidush HaRitva that we have, it says differently. The Rebbe didn't want to be mefarnes them because the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Beis that Kol Adam She'ein Bodeya Asr l'rachim alav, that someone who doesn't have deya, one is not allowed to have rachmanis on them. And piranus come about because of people who don't have any deya. The Ritva just says, but that's only if he's eino omid lamos bera'ov, if he's not going to die. But if he's going to die, then eino chinami, you have to support him anyway. Then when he made his plea to be fed, even though he claimed he didn't know any Torah, he said, feed me like a kelev and an orev, of
of all the animals, why dafka those two animals? So Rashi explains that Kelev and Orev, because we find that Kodesh Baruch Hu is merachim on them more than other creatures, because a Kelev is mizonos of muatin, doesn't have a lot to eat, so Kodesh Baruch Hu makes it that he digests things very slowly. That's what the Gemara says in Shabbos Kufnun Hayim Beis, Maiduch Siv Yodea Tzadik Din Dalim, Yodea Kodesh Baruch Hu Bekelev Shem Mizonos of Muatin, Lefichach Shoa Achilasa B'meyav Shloshi Yamim. It takes him 3 days to digest food so that he will not need all that much food. And when it comes to an Orev, the Gemara in Ksubis, Mem Tesam Beis, tells us the special Rachmanus that Hashem has on an Orev, because a raven is not merachim on its own children. Because the Pasuk says that mi yachin la orev tzido ki yiladav el yishavenu yitu levli ochel, that the orev is black, but the baby is born white, so the parent doesn't recognize the child, and therefore the parent doesn't support the child. So Kodesh Baruch Hu makes some special type of worm that the baby is able to nourish itself with, so that's directly from a Kodesh Baruch Hu that the Rachmanus and the Orev comes. So that's dafka why those two animals. That's how Rashi explains. The Marsha and the Shlach Hadush explain a little differently, that we find that in the Teva, Kodesh Baruch Hu told Noach not to have any Tashmish Amita, because when the world is Bitzar, it's not appropriate to have Tashmish Amita. And even the Behemos and the Chayos were not Mishamish Mita, except for the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Perichelek says, except for the Kelev and the Orev. And nevertheless, Noach still gave them Parnasa. So that's what he was saying. Even a sinner, even someone who's doing something wrong and is not Mishtatif with the Tzar of other people, still you should at least have Rachmanos like a Kelev and an Orev. And the Chassam Sofer explains the third possibility. He says Kelev and Orev is being merames, that even though he didn't learn and he didn't either in Tanakh or Mishnah, but if he ever supported Torah, he should be like an Orev. Why an Orev? That an Orev was the type of bird that was Mefarnes Eliyahu HaNavi, when Eliyahu HaNavi was off on his own, and he had to be brought a meal by a bird. So that was an Orev. So that's the chus of being Mishnah. Of benefiting a Talmud Chacham. And even if he didn't do that, as long as he didn't bother Talmidei Chachamim, that should be enough. Because the Pasuk says, Basar Besad Treifa Lo Sochelu LaKelev Tashlich Noso. What do you do with Basar Treifa? You give it to a dog. So Rashi in Shemos, Perichav Beis, Rashi writes, why the dog? Because Bischar, that when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Milchol B'nei Yisrael Lo Yacharetz Kelev Lashono, right, this week's Parsha, that Lo Yacharetz Kelev that the dog didn't wag its tongue at anybody, at any of the Bnei Yisrael, so they get the Kelev Tashlichon also. So you see, there's schar even for not bothering the Talmid Chachamim. So that's what he was saying. So at least I maybe supported Talmid Chacham like an Orev, and even if I didn't support Talmid Chacham, at least I didn't bother Talmid Chacham like a Kelev, so at least support me on those grounds. And that's why he supported him. The type of Amaretz who does bother Talmid Chacham, he wasn't going to support. But such an Amaretz who didn't do anything wrong, just didn't do anything right either, he was willing to support. Okay, says the Gemara further now at the two dots. The Kama Yehe Bi'ir V'yeka Anshei Ir. So the Mishnah described how much time one has spent in the city in order for him to be considered one of the Anshei Ir with regard to paying the taxes. Uramini Hachameres Hagamelos Haveres Makom L'Makom V'lana B'tocha. If a person is traveling by donkey, by camel, from one place to another, and he stays in a city, V'hudcha Imayin, and he does have a desire together with the majority of that city. Now normally, if a majority of a city worships Avodah Zarah, all their money is destroyed, is brought to the center of town and is burnt. It's what we call an Ir Nidachas, and the people are killed b'sayaf. But an individual who violates Avodah Zarah, nothing happens to his money, and he individually gets skila. So what if you have a traveler who happens to be in a city where the majority of people are doing Avodah Zarah, and he does Avodah Zarah with them? So does he get the same punishment as the rest of them? Is he part of that city? Or is he just a traveler? He's an individual, and we treat him like an individual. Hein b'skila u'mamonim. They get skila and their money does not get destroyed. They're not considered part of that Ir Nidachas. But if they stayed there for 30 days, then they become members of that city and they get the same punishment as everybody else in the city. Amar Rav Lo Kasha. So bottom line is that's a stira, because it sounds like after only 30 days you're a member of the city, but our Mishnah said 12 months. So Rav said not a kasha. Hala b'nei masa, hala yisuve masa. There's a difference between being a citizen of the city and being someone who dwells in the city. To be a full-fledged citizen in the city takes 12 months. But to be a Yoshev Ha'ir, which is all that's required to be included in Ir Nidachas, only takes 30 days. Kedetanya, Mudra Ana Me Anshe Ha'ir, anyone who takes a Nedra Ana from the Anshe Ha'ir, Kol Shenishtah Shem Shemas HaChodesh, Asa Lehanas Menu. If you stay there for 12 months, you're not allowed to get Ana from him. But if the person has been living there for 12 months, he's included in the Anshe Ha'ir. Pachos Mikan Mutter, but less than 12 months, you're allowed to get Ana from such a person. Mi Yoshve Ha'ir, but if you take a neder ana that you're not going to get ana from the Yoshveir, kolshen nishtashem shloshim yom asher lihanus menu, then only if he's been there for 30 days you're not allowed to get ana from him. Pachos mikan mutter lihanus menu. But if it's less than 30 days, you're allowed to get ana from him. So you see, Yoshveir is defined as 30 days. Ulekol mili mi beinon yudbeis chodesh. But wait, in order to be considered from ancheir for every halacha, it needs to be 12 months. Is that true? That if you've lived in the city for 30 days, you already contribute to the Tamchoy. Shlosha Chadashim Lekupa. For 3 months, it's already responsible for the Kupa Shal Tzedakah. Tamchoy is where they actually distribute food itself. The Kupa is the money that they would give out for Tzedakah. So once you once you're there for 3 months, you're paying for that. Shisha l'ksus, if you're there for six months, you're paying for ksus, for clothing. Tisha l'kvura, 9 months for kvura. Shnei masa l'pasei year. And if it's 12 months, then you're paying for the gates of the city. So I'm Rav Asi, I'm Rav Yochanan, kitranam yasis, shnei masa l'chodesh l'pasei year tonight. Yeah, when the Mishnah said 12 months, the Mishnah meant to pay for the gates of the city. But there are other things that you're going to have to pay for prior to that. So you do see that it is gradual, that a person does not immediately shoulder all the responsibilities of a full resident of the city. There's like a grace period where we let him adjust to being part of that city. Everyone pays for the gates of the city, even Yisomim. But the Rabbanan don't pay for the gates. The Rabbanan don't tzrichin nitzirusa, because the Rabbanan don't need any protecting. Amrav Papa, Lushura Luparsha Ulatarzina Afilu Miasmi, for fixing the wall around the city, for a patrol around the wall of the city, and for someone to guard the weapons to protect the city, even Yisomim, we even collect from Yisomim. Al Rabbanan, Lotzrich Nitirusa. But the Rabbanan don't have to pay for that because they don't require protection. Klal de Milsa. Kal Milsa de Islu Anamine Afilu Miasmi. Anything that there's a practical benefit that a resident of the city gets from that tax, then even Yisomim are expected to contribute to that tax. Rabba Rama Tzedaka Ayasmi de Bebar Merion. Rabba made the sum of Bebar Merion paid Tzedaka. Amar Le Abayeva, Tanya Rav Shmuel Bar Yudah, in Poskin Tzedaka, Yisomim Afilu Pinyon Shvuyim. But didn't we learn that you can't collect Tzedaka from Yisomim even for the sake of Pinyon Shvuyim? Amar Le Analach Shuvinu Kavidna. He says, yeah, typically you're not supposed to do that, but I was doing it for their own benefit. I was doing it in order that they should be considered Chashuvim, and that you're allowed to do in order to be considered chashuvim. The Bach writes in Yardeis and Resh Mem Ches, that's only if they're very wealthy. But if they're not an Asher Muflag, these Yisomim, then even for Pidyon Shvuyim, you can't do that. But if they're from such a way, they're trust fund babies of such a wealthy family, so it'll be a bizayon if they're not, it'll be a bizayon to them to not participate in some major communal need like a Pidyon Shvuyim. If Rehomer is aimed at Shvar Malka, Shadra Arnika Didinri, the Kamid Rav Yosef. If Rehomer is the mother of Shvar Malka, of King Shavur, sent a bunch of money to Rav Yosef. Amran, she said, this money is designated that lahave le mitzvah rabba. It should be used for a great mitzvah. So yes, Rav Yosef v'kamayin, but my mitzvah rabba. So Rav Yosef said, okay, let's start analyzing. What would we consider a mitzvah rabba that would be an appropriate use of this money? So Tos already asked the question. We're going to learn a little bit later on, in 2 days from now, that biyavish ketzira tishabarda, that if we dry out the zuchiyos of the gayim, that's when we're going to experience geula, that the Galus lasts so long because of whatever zuchiyos the Gayim have. So we don't want to help them gain zuchiyos. So why is he looking for an actual mitzvah rabbah to help them with? It's only going to give extra zuchiyos, which is only going to be marich the Galus. So Tos says, Yeshlom et kiblum mishum shalom malchus, that you also have to look out for the welfare of the community as it is. And if we reject a gift from the Avdei Chavim, so we're going to be in big trouble. So just like Rava gave Taniyeh of the Chavim. So over here also, he was only when he decided on Pidyon Shvuyim, maybe it was Shvuyim of the Chavim. So then Tos says that, but probably not. Probably it was Shvuyim of Bnei Yisrael. It was not Shvuyim of the Chavim, because it can't be Gonev Das Abrios, and it's not a mitzvah Rabbah to be Pod the Shvuyim of the Chavim. Giving tzedakah is different. If they say they want to give tzedakah, they know that we happen to be Mefarnes Neaniyei Yakum Imaniyei Yisrael. They know that we give tzedakah to Goyim as well. So it's not being Gonev Das to give to Aniyei Yakum. But for Pidyon Shvuyim, it must have been Pidyon Shvuyim of Yisrael. Amalei Abayim, the Tani Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, in Poskin Tzedakah Yisom HaFilu Pidyon Shvuyim, from the fact that Shmuel Bar Yehuda says that we only give tzedakah, we only make Yisom give tzedakah, we don't make Yisom give tzedakah even for Pidyon Shvuyim, and we dafka highlight Pidyon Shvuyim as an even, Shema Mina Pidyon Shvuyim Mitzvah Rabbahi. So we see that Pidyon Shvuyim must be a great mitzvah. Amalei Rava L'Rava V'Amari Minam Milsa Dharma Rabban Pidyon Shvuyim Mitzvah Rabbahi. How do we know that Pidyon Shvuyim is a great mitzvah? Amalei Dechsiv V'Haya Ki Yomer Elecha Ana Netzei V'Amarta Aleim Ko Amar Hashem Asher Lamaves Lamaves V'Asher L'Cherev L'Cherev V'Asher L'Ra'av L'Ra'av V'Asher L'Shevi L'Shevi. We identify different Yisurim. Maves, Cherev, Ra'av, and Shevi. V'Am Rabbi Yochan, Rabbi Yochan comments, Kolam Uchar B'Pasuk Zeh, Kosha Mechavero. Whatever comes later in the Pasuk is a more difficult Yisurin, is a more intense form of suffering than that which comes earlier in the Pasuk. Cherev, Kosha Mimaves. Cherev is considered worse than Maves, because it's later in the Pasuk. How do I know that? What makes Cherev worse than Maves? Iba Yisei Mekra, Iba Yisei Mesvara. I could bring a Pasuk to prove it, or I could say a Svara. Iba Yisei Mesvara, Hai Kamenavel, Vai Lo Kamenavel. That when it comes to Cherev, a person's body is destroyed, it's ripped apart. Whereas Maves, a person's body at least remains intact. There's no nivel of the mace. V'iba yisei mekra, or there's a pasuk, yakar be'inei Hashem hamavsa lachasidav. That natural death is considered to be yakar be'inei Hashem, is considered to be for the chasidim, for the people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu values. Because natural death is a less terrible thing than cherev. Ra'av kasha mecherev, but famine is even worse than cherev. Iba yisema kra, iba yisema svara. Iba yisema svara kamitz tair, v'aylo kamitz tair. You could say it's a svara because there's much more suffering in famine than there is in a sword. Iba yisema kra, tovum ayu chalale cherev, me chalale ra'av. That the pasuk says explicitly that it's better to be chalale cherev than chalale ra'av. And shevi kasha mikulam, being held captive is worse than all of them. Dekulu isnu be, because all of these forms of suffering happen to someone in captivity. The degradation to his body, the suffering, all of it happens to someone who's in captivity, and therefore Shevi is the worst, and that's what makes Pidyon Shvuyim a mitzvah rabbah. So that's what they decided to do with the money, that they're going to take the money for the mitzvah rabbah and use it for Pidyon Shvuyim. Tan Rabbanu, Kupa Shel Tzedakah Nigvas B'Shtayim is Chalakas B'Shlosha. When collecting the money for the Kupa Shel Tzedakah, you need two Gabayim, and when dividing, when distributing it, you need three. Nigvas B'Shtayim She'enos Sarara Salzim Paks M'Shtayim. It's collected with two because it's a position of Sarara to demand money from people. You need at least two people for that. Umischalekas b'shlosha kedine mamadas, and it's divided with three. It's distributed with three people because it's considered like dine mamonis. To ask Tosos, isn't collecting it also dine mamonis? So Tosos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, l'fisha yodua schum shal kol echad v'echad kam yitein. It was already predetermined how much each person was going to take. It was only about demanding the predetermined amount. So that's a srara, that's not dine mamonis. Dine mamonis is determining how much it's going to be. So when you already know how much, that's why you don't need three. But when you're distributing it, so then you're deciding how much to give to each person, that's where you need three. Tamchoy, when it comes to paying for the food pantry, so nigves b'shlosha, umischalekas b'shlosha. It's collected with three and distributed with three. Shegvuya v'chaluka shavim, because it's the same with the collecting and the distribution. Tamchoy b'chal yom, kupa me'erv Shabbos la'erv Shabbos. For the tamchoy, it's a collection every single day. Kupa is only erev Shabbos to erev Shabbos that it gets collected and distributed. Tamchoy l'aniyei olam, the tamchoy is for everybody. Kupa l'aniyei ir, but the kupa is reserved for aniyim of that city. Rasham Bnei Yair lasos kupa tamchei v'tamchei kupa l'shnos l'kol mashi yirtzu. And the Bnei Yair are allowed to to change the funds. Funds that were earmarked for a tamchoy could be moved to a kupa, kupa to a tamchoy. The bnei ha'ir have the right to make that decision. V'rashan bnei ha'ir lahasl salamidos v'alasharim al-schar po'alim u'lasiyal kitzasan. And the bnei ha'ir are allowed to determine how much someone's going to get paid, po'alim should get paid, and how much the prices should be in the market. And they could punish anyone who violates their decrees. Amar mar, ein osin sroros al-tzibur pachos mishnayim. That we whenever there's a position of something of srara over the tzibur, we're making demands of the tzibur, you need at least two people involved. We can't have one person have all the power. Minani mili, how do I know that? Amar avnachem namakra v'heim yichles azav. Sroros hudlavdi ha'imune mehemen. That they don't do srara, but they are trusted, they are believed, they even one person would be believed. Say Rabbi Chanina, Damar Rabbi Chanina, Maisa Umina Rebbe, Shnei Achin Ala Kupa. That Rebbe once appointed two brothers, so as far as Nemanus is concerned, they only have the status of one person because they're brothers, but he appointed them over the Kupa because since the only concern is Srara, you need more than one person for Srara, it was okay to have two brothers. There was no concern about Nemanus. Maisra Russo, what is the Srara that the Gabay Tzedakah have? They could take a mashkon if you refuse to pay the tzedakah. I feel erev Shabbos, even erev Shabbos. Ani, is that true? They could forcefully take a mashkon. That gabay tzedakah is not allowed to pressure a person. You cannot force someone to give tzedakah. Says Gemara Lokasha. Hadamit, hadalo amit. It's not always true. It depends if the person is a wealthy person or not a wealthy person. If he's a wealthy person, you are allowed to force him to give tzedakah, and you can take a mashkon from him if he refuses. Just like Yadar Rava Achvei Rav Nasan Bar Ami v'shakel min Abram Ezuzil tzedakah, like Rava forced Rabbi Ami and he took from him 400 zuz for tzedakah. Tosus points out, Achar Haya Imo, the Enos Saral Tzibrach Mi Beis. That obviously there couldn't have been that Rava himself forced Rabbi Ami. There must have been someone else along with Rava, because like we said, this is Sarara, and you need at least two people when it comes to Sarara. We don't mention the other guy, Mipnei Kvodo Shal Rava, because whoever the second guy along with Rava was, obviously wasn't Rava, wasn't Rava's stature, so we only mention Rava, but in Chinam, he must have had someone else. Tosus asks another question. The Gemara Masechta Skulin tells us that Kol Mitzvah Seisha Matan Tzchar Ksuv B'tzida Ein Bezen Shal Matan Muzharim Aleha. That whenever you have a mitzvah say that the Matan Tzchar of the mitzvah is written in the Torah, Bezdin is not able to enforce it. So by Tzedakah it says Ki Pasoch Tivtach Es Yalcha Lo, and it says Ki Beglal Davar Zayi Vrecha Shavel Kach, etc. That it says the Matan Tzchar. So how could it be that Rava was allowed to force for Tzedakah? So Tosus suggests four answers. Number one, tells quotes from Rabbeinu Tam that it doesn't mean he actually forced him. It means he encouraged him. Bidvarim, kfiya bidvarim. Second, he says they accepted it, the community accepted upon themselves that they should be allowed to be forced. 30 quotes from the Ri that by tzedakah were kofa because there's also a losa say. It's not just a mitzvah say, losa ametz levav chalosit quotes. So since it's a losa say, they're allowed to force. And the fourth possibility, l'ritzba nira, that which bezin is not musa, mitzvah shematz kar betzida, means they're not punished for failure to force, but they are permitted to force someone to give tzedakah. That's a dayan who judges a true din truthfully. So all the Rishonim discussed, Tosas included, why the double expression MS and La Amito. Sometimes Tosas says all the evidence points to one outcome, but you know something smells about the case. You know that something's not right. So that it could be a din MS because I'm following the evidence, but it's not necessarily Lamito. Lamito involves digging a little bit further. Umatzdike Rabbi Kochavim Liolam Ved El Gabay Tzedakah. That's Rabbi Gabay Tzedakah. Masnis Tanav Maskil Miyasir Kazar Kia. Then in the Brisa we learn differently. Maskil Miyasir Kazar Kia. What's that a reference to? Zedayon Shadon Dinemis Lamito VeGabay Tzedakah. That includes the Dayon and the Gabay Tzedakah. Matzdike Rabbi Kochavim Liolam Ved Elam Lamde Tinokos. That's a reference from Lamde Tinokos. Gon Man Amrav Gon Rav Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, like Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. Rav Ashkel, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, Davakai Beginasa. He found Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas in his garden. Armaleshav, Kasi Lim Nusech. You have left, you've abandoned your students, you know, the people that you were always teaching, and to be Malamid Be'amuna. Why aren't you with them? Armalei Hatzleisar Shinin, Dilchazili. It's been 13 years, I hadn't seen the garden. Vashanami Datayelavayu. And even though I own this garden, I've completely neglected it. And even now that I'm here, I'm still thinking, even my first vacation in 13 years, I'm still thinking about the Talmidim. So don't question the dedication that he has to the Talmidim. Rabbanan Maya, what do we say about the Rabbanan? Am Ravina Va'av of Ktseis HaShemesh B'Gvuraso. That's even a higher level of Av of Ktseis HaShemesh B'Gvuraso. So it's even on a higher level than the Lamed Tinokos, who in turn are on an even higher level than the Gabay Tzedakah and the Dayan Shadan Din Emes La'amito. Okay, Be'ez HaShem, we'll pick up with the Braisa, Tan Rabbanan tomorrow.